Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s. On KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative.
When we talk about karma, we are always talking about a stress condition, a vibratory condition we have with ourselves from past lives. See, karma is not with the world or other people. Karma is with the self. Well, along this road of life, occasionally we run into other people and situations that are such a close reflection of ourselves that it actually triggers or catalyzes a painful response. If you've ever looked in the mirror and have low self-esteem and thought to yourself, oh, like, ooh, or gosh, or that's why low self-esteem actually is karmic too, we actually react sometimes the same way in life, if not all the time. Whenever we meet people, did you know a lot of times the people we don't like are people that are the most similar to ourselves, okay? So we're going to talk about astrologically how you can identify these people, what you can do about it, and the secret to life, how you can embrace it all and slough it off, and how to be more blissful and more happy, of course, in the process. And I hope you enjoyed your long weekend, and I want to thank any of you that took the time to listen to the Astrology Hour yesterday. I was listening, and it was so much fun to learn about aspects, wasn't it? I was talking to my producer this morning, Monica, who we all know is leaving for University of San Francisco around August 1st and feverishly trying to find a replacement for her. How do you find a replacement for an angel is a question. Ooh, tough gig. You know, I was looking at Monica's chart this morning, and I realized that she only had one planet in her chart, Neptune in Scorpio at 23 degrees, which was square my Saturn. And besides that, her Sun, her Moon, her Mercury, her Venus, her Mars, her Jupiter, her Saturn, her Uranus, and her Pluto were all in positive element to my chart, which means every one of those planets are either conjuncting to, sextile to, trining to, or in just a non-square or opposition zone to any planet in my chart. I thought to myself, no wonder Monica and I have gotten along so well all this time. No arguments, no problems. Even if she makes a big mistake or I make a big mistake, no one's gotten uptight with each other. No one's yelled at each other. There's been no real hassles, total cooperation. And it's really wonderful aspect for friends or for coworkers to have if you can find somebody who has a chart like Monica does to me, right? Only one planet square, another planet my chart. When you only find one square between the two chart in a comparison, that means that not only is there not a reflection of each other, but there's so much of a difference. There's so much of a variety. It's almost like a counterbalance. You know, where I would be like the yang and she would be like the yin. You know, there's like a masculine feminine balance there where her sensitivity and her spiritualness and her innocence and purity and her mellowness and kindness and shyness balances my aggressiveness and enthusiasm and my sometimes temperamentality, emotionalism, and high energy, and her energy calms me, and I kind of fuel her as far as allowing her to be more enthusiastic and gregarious and extrovert. So there's been a real good counterbalance there, and I'm dedicating this topic to people in relationships that are looking for more of a karma-free relationship. Now, oftentimes, when we look at people that we love or that we work with or that we move in with or that we marry or go within a relationship and we find out that they have planets sitting right on top of planets in our chart that are heavily afflicted. Example, my moon in Scorpio at 17, my Venus in Cancer at 5, my Neptune in Libra at 10, my Leo planets 14 and 18 and 25. Also, those are all square points in my chart, which means that negative zones of karma between myself and other people would be signified by planets in other people's charts that would square or oppose or conjunct those afflicted zones in my chart. These are called zones of influence. Like, I know by now that because I have Leo planets, right, that anyone with Leo which would conjunct it, Scorpio, which would square it, Aquarius, which opposes it, or Taurus, which squares it between 14 and 25, that they're going to be a reflection that's going to be a similarity that's going to look a lot like me. You see, I'm a Leo, and I have a planet at 18 Leo, but see, planets at 18 Taurus, 18 Scorpio, and 18 Aquarius are so similar to 18 Leo that there is a reflection there, because we're all fixed signs and we're all in a situation that puts us, as far as ego is concerned, in a very similar state and in a very similar situation of understanding each other. That's why people that would have fixed planets, okay, around 18 degrees would be very, very similar. Like as stubborn and as arrogant as I can be, or as cold or as shut down or as aggressive or dominant as I could be, also is the same way an 18 Scorpio or 18 Taurus or 18 Aquarius can be. See, and then of course the 18 Leo would be exactly like my reflection. See, and what happens is if you know someone that has an 18 Taurus in their chart and you're an 18 Leo, well, whenever the moon goes into the fixed signs, you're all going to be triggered with a stress karma there, that you might see a reflection in each other that'll make you mad and aggravate you and turn you off and get you upset. And that's when you'll have a bad day. Let's say you're married to someone, right? And you're an 18, like if I was an 18 Leo and I married a woman who was an Aquarius with a Scorpio moon that would T-square the dickens out of my Leo Scorpio, hey, when planets go into fixed signs like Pluto hanging in Scorpio for the next 5 years, there's going to be such a weird reflection that's going to be like looking in the mirror sometimes and going, oh, like, gosh, I don't like the what this looks like here. It doesn't look good. See, like, the interesting thing about love and about life and about the spirit is oftentimes you must surrender to your obsessions, to your addictions. You must surrender to your selfish needs and behavior, and oftentimes embrace the universe for what it offers. Which means if you're going to live with or be married to somebody that has a similar reflection inside of themselves that's you, that's karma. I want you to make this clear here. The closer, a lot of times people go, well, I want to find somebody that has a lot of things in common with me, or I want to find somebody that looks like me, or I'm trim, so I want somebody else that's trim, or I'm cute, and so, you know, or I'm big, or whatever. So we're always looking for people that are similar to us, and I'm not saying it's not wrong. It's not right to be with people that have your same rising signs or your same moon signs or your same Venuses or whatever. No problem. It's fine. But just remember, the closer the reflection, the bigger the challenge confronting you, karmically speaking, as far as having pure self-esteem with yourself and then self-esteem within the relationship, which means that oftentimes, for example, if we do find somebody else, okay, like you have to find your zones of influence. Like if you're able to locate your squares and your oppositions in your chart and you know where they are, you can find the other zones in your chart where the planets in your natal chart would also square and oppose. Like I talked about my Leo, let's talk about my Cancer. I have Venus in Cancer at 5, square Neptune in Libra at 10. So that means I have a cardinal square between Cancer and Libra that's from 5 to 10. Well, because Aries is cardinal, Capricorn is also cardinal, Libra is cardinal, and Cancer is cardinal, we find that if I'm with anyone that has Aries, Capricorn, Libra, or Cancer in their chart, but obviously between 5 and 10, or with emphasis on 5 degrees or 10 degrees, then they are going to be similar to me and offer the same type of reflection, which means because I have Cancer, Libra stress, Venus square Neptune, I can be vulnerable, I can be sensitive, I can be emotional, I can be disillusioned, living in a cloud, living on a dream, and not really being totally realistic, right? So if I hang out with somebody that also has Cancer, Libra stress with Neptune involved, they're going to be the same way. So they're going to offer an exact reflection of the same type of person that I am. So here we both are walking around in dreams and facades, both of us having a different opinion on what reality truly is, that when reality truly strikes, the karma strikes, the veil is lifted, the clarity is produced, and that is why I get stressed out oftentimes by people that can have emphasis, of course, on Aries, Capricorn, and Libra. I tend to get along better with people with early Cancer because they're usually as sensitive and as puppy doggish as I can be. So basically, When we take a look at astrology and we take a look at ourselves, what we're zeroing in on is we're really zeroing in on exactly what we have in our charts that would be similar to what other people would have in their charts. Because the closer we find, see, like the people that we adhere to and the people that we usually love and the people that we usually attach ourselves to are people that are like ourselves. You know, we feel like we can relate to them. Smart people, you know, really intelligent people will sort of radiate or vibrate towards those people that are very different from them. See, like I need a lot of variety in my life. So oftentimes I'll hang with people that are in some way similar to me and then in some way are light years apart. And that distance, that variety, that change, which is something I can accept, is what really nurtures and creates a good foundation for relationship and long-time stability. It's when you hang with people that are so similar to you that you come into this situation of love-hate situation where you find yourself loving your boyfriend, loving your children, loving your wife, loving your friends or whatever, and then before you know it, a couple weeks pass, you have a bad day, and you, oh, I hate him, you know, And this is karma. See, like, okay, now people say, okay, Farley, so what is karma? Well, karma is an energy that exists in this, the third dimension, that happens whenever you reach for something, okay, whatever it is. It's like the importance, in other words, what we had when we first came to Earth are what human beings or living entities had in this dimension when they first came here. All they had was spirit. In other words, we were like little orbs of light. That's all we had, okay? And it was very important that we retain that priority, where all we was orbs of love and light, and we didn't need any nurturing or any pampering because we were self-sufficient. And then through mind manifestation, these little orbs of light treated this dimension like it was a lab and started to create things like planets and like rivers and sky and streams and little creatures like insects, bugs, and animals. You know, it was like a big artwork of these orbs of God that were down here creating this energy, you know. Well, you see, because the orb of light is God, whenever you create anything outside or beyond the orb, then you are actually losing the point of God. See, like God is such a powerful, graceful, cosmic force. It is so incredibly pure and innocent that whenever you go beyond its innocence and its purity, and then you create an imbalance, okay? Well, you know what happened? When we create things like dinosaurs, little puppy dinosaurs, you know, baby dinosaurs are cute, or little insects. Yeah, I don't know if you ever noticed how cute a moth or a butterfly could be. Well, these orbs of light thought, you know, in order to create this being, this entity, I had to give it life by taking some of my own self, my own light energy, and putting it inside of that butterfly or inside of that bee and allowing it to beat. Allowing it to become an entity separate from the whole. See what I mean? So every time something was created in this dimension, there was a price that was created. Because suddenly that little bee had a beginning and an end. It had a birth and a death. And it also experienced pain and imbalance and misery because part of the vehicles that were created were senses. Like the sense of touch, nerves, and the sense of sight and smell and little robotic qualities that we all have. You know, God knows what happened when man was created by these little orbs of light, which in fact were the God force at work. But the truth being that the price that was paid for us to become separate from the source was a reduction of total consciousness, okay? Because the orbs of light, whereas they may be omnipotent and omnipresent and one with the universe and one with God, human beings have limited robotic features about themselves, their brains, their nervous systems, their vital organs. So once again, whenever we went outside of the spirit and went into areas of separation, illusions of uniqueness and such in this creative process, there was a price, and that was a karma. And that's what we're always doing. See, we are still orbs of light. See, we think that we are so small sometimes. We think that we are so limited and so lonely and so ugly and so bad or so negative or whatever, but we're still the orbs of light. See, but now we're in these bodies and we wake up in the morning. Sometimes we feel heavy or sometimes we feel tired or sometimes we feel weird or not in scope, not in balance, because we've come from that place which is normal, you know, the beyond, the realms that exist beyond Earth. So now The creative process has been a big struggle because it's very complicated now. It's complex, and all this stuff we've created is becomes burdensome because it's outside of the spirit. We've been reaching, you know, all along from the very beginning, we've been reaching. And whenever you reach for anything, it's a selfish behavior. You know, it's like, I want that relationship, and I want that car, and I want that job, and I want this money. You know, and the truth about life and love in the universe, the true nirvana of bliss and happiness lies in the spirit, in that orb of light, which is what you are. But you think that you're going to receive more pleasure from that limited relationship that might last a lifetime or less, or maybe even a week or two, or you might get more pleasure from that money that you're going to kill yourself over in the career, or that car that you're going to knock yourself out until you finally, or the boat, you know, and you go away from the symbol of that orb of light that you are, that spirit of God that you are, and you get mad. You get angry when the relationship doesn't work, and you yell and scream and hit them and hurt them, and you yell and scream and cry and give yourself an ulcer and hurt yourself. And then you get mad when you lose that job, and you send your boss a vengeful, vindictive letter and a burning paper bag at the doorstep or whatever, and you get all upset when somebody dies or when somebody leaves you or when somebody gets sick or when you can't have your way. You find yourself in a relationship yelling and screaming. Here's two beautiful orbs of light yelling and screaming in front of two little innocent orbs of light, the children, right? And this is their example. Kids, this is what you're supposed to do as an orb of light in life. And it, don't you see, it's all karma. See, it's all the karma is the energy that exists when you reach beyond the spirit. Whenever you go beyond the spirit of God that dwells within your heart and place importance or priority on anything outside of your own spirit, then you must pay for that priority, and that's karma. And that's why when you come back in this life with an astrology chart as a baby, and you find you have squares and oppositions in your chart, then that is telling us where you've reached in past lives and what areas you will reach for in this life. And so you want real estate, and so you want millions of dollars, and you want to be a famous star, and you've met someone like Sally Kellerman or Morgan Fairchild that also wants a big car in real estate and stardom, and you go, yeah, we're similar, but this is karma. You know, Clint Eastwood and Sandra Locke, right? Beautiful relationship in all these movies together, and all of a sudden, big palimony suit, breakup. You know, they were so similar that it was karma. They reached for something they thought they needed, and in the end, they realized, no biggie, we don't really need each other. So why aggravate yourself over it, you know? So, you know, oftentimes you have to remember that if you can look in the mirror and love what you have and nurture and pamper what you are, then you can certainly look at another person and surrender and love and embrace what they are too, without getting upset or angry or obsessive or addictive or attached. If that person wants to be out of your life, God bless them. I embrace it. It's karma. If you fight to keep someone in your life that wants to leave or wants to cheat on you, you're just reaching. You know what I mean? Because you have all the love and all the nurturing and all the pampering you need inside you. The universe is inside of you. You know what that little tiny orb of light that we started off with in this topic is? That's God. That's the entire universe. Everything you sense around you is an illusion outside of the source. The source of all light and love is in one huge ball of energy that is the God force. And everything outside of that ball is a joke. It's a cartoon. It's a travesty. It's a facade. It's an illusion that we created. It's our artwork. Are you going to get upset over a painting, even a multi-billion-dollar painting that is slashed? You're still alive. You're still healthy. You're still happy. You're breathing. You're walking. You have your senses. You have maybe food and shelter. Yeah, whenever you get upset over anything outside the spirit, that's a karma, okay? So whenever you attract people in your life astrologically, if you find out that they have a lot of planets sitting on your afflicted points in your chart or on your afflicted zones of influence, like I was talking about, then know that they are a reflection of yourself. And they will certainly catalyze reflections inside of yourself, which will produce a karma, which may produce pain and anxiety, and may they produce suffering, and I have had enough pain and enough anxiety and enough suffering. If I'm in a relationship and that person wants to leave me, I'm powerful. I'm fine. And right away they'll say, well, I don't want to hurt you. You're not hurting Farley. The only one that can hurt Farley is Farley. You've been around. It's been blissful. It's been fun. If you got to go, fine. Cool. You know, if the career is over, then the book is closed. The chapter is closed. Fine. So the house burns down. What are you supposed to do? Give yourself a heart attack over it? You want to compound the karma even worse? You know, the funny thing about the universe and the funny thing about life and karma is that everything is perfect. You know, the funny thing about the universe is that the universe is balance. And God is a pure force, which means nothing happens by accident. I really hate to tell you that. And a lot of people are so angry at me now for saying that birth defects and AIDS and, God forbid, dread childhood diseases or auto accidents or breast cancer, lung cancer, or any of these things are perfect. But I hate to tell you, that's the way balance works. Everything in the universe happens because it's perfect. It's meant to happen. If you buy a house in a mudslide zone and your house crashes to the ground or gets swamped by a tidal wave, that's the law. There's a reason why that happened. It happened because you reached. You know, and that's what's funny about life. My dad says to me, Farley, don't you want millions of dollars, and don't you want a house, and don't you want big, beautiful cars and servants and lots of properties? So I'm going, Dad, I'm happy. You know, money's no big deal for me. I don't want to aggravate myself over it. He goes, well, I've been working hard all my life. Look at all everything I've built. Two heart attacks, two bypasses, lots of stress. You know, that's not my bag. You know, my bag is really enjoying and embracing the little things in life, like being able to get up in the morning and being able to breathe, being able to see, washing my face, washing my hands, laughing, playing with my birds, you know, little thing. You know, you build big industries and huge empires, and you ever notice how buildings burn down and empires are destroyed and corporations go bankrupt? You know, and it's a lot of fun building a marriage and building a business, and it's a lot of fun raising a family. God forbid you should have to deal with one of your children getting sick or passing into the light, or your business crashing down to the ground, or your marriage falling apart. But that's what karma is. You're reaching out beyond your own spirit. If you're going to reach, fine, no problem. You have my permission. You should give yourself permission too. But remember, that this dimension is a limited dimension. This dimension is an artist's easel. And this dimension has limitation. And this dimension has finality. You know what's sad about the third dimension, if you want to put some sadness on it, is the finiteness of this dimension. That we know this dimension is filled with endings, with losses, with things being removed and passing and taken away, and we have to deal with it. You know, so you have a cute little cat, you got a cute little dog. Guess what? That cat's not going to live 80 years long with you. That cat's going to be history one day. So as much fun as you're having with that cat, it's going to pass. You know, and you have a choice to destroy yourself for a year or two or 10 because of the loss of a cat. You know, people build their marriages up, and they you're married to a person, right, who has all your zones covered, and it's a perfect marriage. You love each other, and your chart is afflicted all to hell. Karma everywhere. You catalyzed each other tremendously. And once again, I reiterate, karma is not outside the self, it is inside the individual. So if someone's ticking you off, it's because you are unstable inside. There's an imbalance inside. I like the way people are always using the word you this and you that, and you have this problem. You know, it's I, it's not you, it's I. they're one of your tentacles. You know, you can take your merry old God self and stretch it through the ether and then come up through this person and they're your puppet. You know, they're sitting there going, well, hi Farley, we're going to leave you today because you've been bad. Okay, I'm going to get upset about this, you know. But this is a reflection of yourself. And the best way to handle it is just embrace it. You know, embrace the whole thing. Say, whatever the universe dictates, it's perfect. I'm going to handle it, and that's the way it is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those that trespass upon us. Karma, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's right there in the Lord's Prayer, the whole answer to life. You know, simple things. Give us this day our daily bread. Sometimes I say that thing before I go to bed at night, just to remind me of the power that I have inside of me, you know, and the power. You know, it's funny that the one main thing that he left us, you know, was that Lord's Prayer. You know, they said, if we seek you, how shall we do it? Send me a telegram, Our Father, you know, just say this. And when you say the symbolism that's in that prayer is so powerful, it is so incredibly powerful as to reveal the karma of life and the simplicity of spiritual needs is all we ever really need. Life and love and forgiveness, you know, like being able to forgive yourself and being able to say to your people you love the most, for whatever reason, I forgive you. You know, I forgive myself and I forgive you. No more pain, no more anger, no more reaching, and no more placing of significance on anything other than my own self. If your life is good, then love yourself, love your spirit, embrace it, and bask in it. Maybe you'll act as a herald or a beacon of light where you can reflect this energy onto people around you. It'll spread, and maybe the whole world will be a happier place to live when we recognize what we are and what we're all about. Okay, how's that for a topic, huh? You never know where I'm going to come up with this stuff. Too much karma. And if you can't tell by now, astrology is an awesome catalyst to help you understand this orb of light I was talking about. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't be sitting here today, and I wouldn't be teaching these topics that I teach, and I try to be as humble as I can, even though I know there are people out there teaching metaphysics on the radio, teaching philosophy and psychic and spiritual awareness. They sometimes seem to reflect ego like they know it all. I'm not saying I know anything. And I want you to know that I try to be as humble as possible. And I'm always interested in other people's points of view. You know, all I'm saying is that this is what works for me. I've had a lot of pain in my life. It's over. It's been blissful and happy for many, many years now. So I just share with what works for me. Maybe it'll help you too. Astrology is what started it for me, because when I first sat down and I had my biggest problems in life, it was the astrologers that told me who I really was and why I reacted the way I did. And when they sat down and said, well, Farley, could be a little sensitive here from this Scorpio moon you have. It's the most vulnerable moon, and you may be a little bit emotional from having Venus square Neptune in your chart and take everything personal. I'm sitting there looking at this person like, who the heck is this person to look at a piece of paper and know what I'm all about? You know, but that's what the magic of astrology is all about.